control your Wii via helmet while playing Mushroom Kingdom Hearts? No, sir, we're not going to talk about any about that. But we will talk about being elite, and we'll take your live calls and chat comments. Bobby Blackwell Show, April 1st, 2007. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
I don't want you seeing my stats on the armor. Can I have a tinfoil hat, please? I can't trust anything I read today. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we talk about the latest news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history and talk about some of the independent projects out there. No, it's not a joke. We are still live here on All Games Radio. If you are here with us, go to chat.allgames.com. I will be reading comments throughout chat, but I cannot guarantee that they will not be trying to trip me up to give me false information, because today is April Fool's Day. Don't believe anything you read today, as it's most likely fake. Just like that Bob Ross video game from last year. A little bit later on, we're going to have our Skype line and our toll-free number open. I'll go ahead and give that information out, but I will not be taking calls until about the midpoint of the show. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, and our toll-free number in the United States and Canada is 1-866-880-0156. On the podcast, you can either leave us a voicemail on that Skype line or email me, blackwolf@allgames.com. And as always, I do want to thank Kropotkin and Hendrix, but Hendrix was replaced by some motorcycle guy providing their weekly audio game review this week. It was Burnout Dominator. It's one guy in the UK and one guy in the US giving their honest opinion and a few jokes about a different game each week. We premiere it just before this show goes live, or you can download it as a podcast feed at allgames.com. That link and many others discussed tonight will be on our website, BobbyBlackwolfShow.com. So, to follow up on something last week that we had talked about, we had spent probably about 30 minutes with Kropotkin on the line from the UK talking about how much the PS3 launch failed and sucked and how it was a disaster for Sony. Well, the egg's on our faces. The BBC has reported that the PlayStation 3 console has broken UK sales records with more than 165,000 machines sold in the first 2 days of release, say analyst ChartTrack. More than a million consoles were shipped across Europe on launch day with 600,000 units sold. Microsoft sold 71,000 Xbox 360 consoles during its UK launch, and Nintendo sold 105,000 Wii machines. So what that means is that the PlayStation 3 is the second fastest selling console in UK history. The first fastest was the PSP at 185,000. However, one thing I do want to point out is that Microsoft and Nintendo both sold out, and there are still PlayStation 3s on the shelf, but that probably shows, you know, that having more supply is probably a good thing because more people can get them. So it doesn't seem like it was as much of a flop as we thought it would be, and as much as we surmised from the midnight launch. A lot of people just probably didn't want to go to the midnight launches and sit out there in the cold. They decided they'd just rather go in the next day and pick them up. And I mean, there are some other reports, I think, like that there was a lot of refunds of the pre-order money, like people pre-ordered it and then decided they didn't want to pre-order it anymore and got their money back. But the actual sales of the console are, you know, they're there, and those are not shipped. That's actually sold. They shipped 600,000. I think they shipped 220,000 to the UK out of that 165,000 number. So maybe Sony's not doing as bad as we thought they were. So I just wanted to point that out because I was... We were talking all last week about how, you know, oh, Sony failed the launch, Sony failed the launch, Sony failed the launch, and they didn't fail. They actually did quite well in the if you look at, like, straight numbers compared to the other consoles. Dr. Bloodshot says that the PS3 success in the UK was also an April Fool's joke. I read this well before April 1st. This is one of those things I will believe. However, Doomplague does say that, you know, this just in, the PS3 is a huge success or a huge suck. whatever. Some people in the chat room obviously are not swayed by the numbers, the pretty numbers given by Sony's public relations department. In other news that we're going to be talking a lot about tonight, Microsoft, are they playing catch-up? Because they did announce finally the Xbox 360 Elite. So, you know, from Joystick's summary of it, the Elite features an HDMI port, a 120-gigabyte hard drive, and comes in a new black color and will be in stores April 29th for $479.99. Now, the Elite is not a limited edition product. It will be a permanent third SKU, so just what we need, third SKU thingies. The Elite will come with an HDMI cable, which is proudly declared on its packaging, in addition to a cable used to transfer data from your existing hard drive over to the new one. It will use the quote, same components as the existing Xbox 360 consoles, so that 65-nanometer processor that they figured out that would run cooler, you're not getting it. The 120-gigabyte hard drive will be available at retail for $179.99. Black wireless controllers, black battery packs, and black play-and-charge kits will also be available at retail for the same price as their white counterparts. So it was announced this week, and its reaction's been pretty mixed. Some people were really saying, oh boy, I can't wait to get it. Other people are like, why are they ripping us off again? And some of us have flip-flopped throughout the week. Like, I flip-flopped since hearing it. I thought, because my 360, it scratches discs every once in a while. Like, when the drive is powering down, like, the disc will wobble and actually hit the laser and make this noise, and you'll see, like, a tiny little scratch. But I figure, since my Xbox 360 is out of warranty, I should buy a new one, and maybe I should get an Elite. But I've kind of decided against it now because it's $479 for a console I already have. You know, it doesn't bring too much extra to the table. And, you know, 120-gig hard drives, especially SATA hard drives, which is what they are, they're modified SATA drives, they're not $180. And I don't really need an HDMI cable. What Up G says, I guess the HD DVD drive Xbox 360 is sometime down the road. And that's the thing. This thing does not have the HD DVD drive built in. And I think it's because Microsoft has said, you know, nobody's won yet. We're not going to stick to one format until we know which one wins. And, you know, if Blu-ray happens to win, I can see Microsoft releasing a Blu-ray add-on, just like they did with the HD DVD add-on. And it doesn't give you a lower price point. But, you know, some of the rumors before was that they were going to be phasing out the current cores, make the current premium the core, and then make the Elite the new premium down the line and give it a white paint scheme. Well, Sony, in response to this, Sony sent out a press release welcoming Microsoft's decision. they said that, quote, "We think every PlayStation 3 owner should have an Elite experience, which is why we include an internal hard drive and HDMI output in every PS3 we sell, along with the 50 gigabytes of storage capacity on a high-definition Blu-ray disc. Sony has been the strongest advocate of high-definition as the future of next-generation gaming. This requires high-definition components, including HDMI output and large storage devices to deliver and store all that rich and vivid HD content. Microsoft's announcement today not only legitimizes Sony's PS3 strategy, it moves us closer to adopting universal standards in the area of high-definition gaming that will benefit game developers and ultimately the end user." So essentially Sony was saying, hey guys, catching up much? I'm surprised they didn't say, yeah, you know, that black trim really looks nice on a console, doesn't it? Because a lot of people are thinking that, you know, this is Microsoft playing catch-up to Sony now that Sony has apparently sold so well in Europe. And a lot of people, it's kind of funny reading the comments on blogs, which are always very funny because they're always so, what's the word, dumb? People were so chastising Sony for saying, how dare you? But when Microsoft did the exact same stuff during the Sony launch, we were all like, ah, that's so funny, that's great, that's awesome. Yeah. So Sony is here going, yeah, so we were right, huh? So now you're trying to play catch-up, huh? Seymour Booty says, I've already spent the money on the VGA cable and a VGA switch so I can hook up my 360 and HTPC up to the one VGA input on my TV. And Funnydale says the current 360s are already quieter than the early 360 models. And I think the noise that I'm talking about is like the noise of the laser hitting the disc and scratching it. That's the noise I'm talking about. Mine doesn't seem all that noisy at all. But I will say my PS3, I've been running folding at home all week, and it's quiet. And it also hasn't skipped a beat. So go Sony on that one. Folding proteins apparently is A-OK for the console. Fifth Dream asks, WTF is HDMI anyway? HDMI is this It's essentially, it's digital, video, and audio. It goes over the same cable. And the reason everybody loves HDMI is not because it has a clearer picture. It really doesn't. The reason everybody loves HDMI is because the movie studios have threatened that they will put this copy protection bit on future HD, DVD, and Blu-ray movies that will not allow you a high-definition picture unless you're sending a digital signal to the TV. If you're using component cables, which is an analog connection, then it will downscale the video down to just normal DVD quality. It won't look any better than a regular DVD. So it's more future-proofing than actual looks. Like, you really can't tell the difference between something that's on component and something that's on HDMI. I've tried. I'm sure there is a slight difference, but it's not noticeable, and it's not really not worth $60 or however much some people charge for a cable, even though you can get HDMI cables for less than $10 if you know where to look. But it's really just about future-proofing for that copy protection bit, which, by the way, nobody's turned on yet and probably won't turn on for a few years. And actually, if you have like a VGA input or a DVI input, those are also digital. And so that will also get around the copy protection bit. It's just you need a digital signal, not an analog, which is what's over component. So that's why everybody wants to HDMI. I have an HDMI port on the back of my TV, and I don't have anything hooked up to it because I don't need it. And I prefer to have my switcher with my component box. And I go put everything through a component switcher, and it looks just fine. So that's what the deal is with HDMI. And apparently here, also, and I think Drunk Pandas in chat earlier was saying that the audio on the 360 HDMI is a little bit less than what it should be. Like, it only gives you two-channel audio on the HDMI port or something. So I'll have to try to figure that out. He was, like, saying that in chat earlier, and I don't think he listens to the show, so I don't know if he's going to correct me or not. But that's the other benefit of HDMI, is that they send the audio through the cable instead of having, like, a separate optical audio cable and stuff like that. So, but I haven't used that either. I prefer optical audio or digital audio, whichever one. Now, here's the thing. That big hard drive, it's great, huh? So Wired actually did some translating. And they report that in announcing the Japanese launch of the 120GB Xbox 360 hard drive, a Microsoft Japan press release revealed some additional information about the migration of content, most notably that the data from the two 20GB hard drives cannot be combined into one 120GB drive. Now, they point out that Microsoft's Aaron Greenberg told gamers at the launch of the Xbox Video Marketplace to go out and buy two drives. Here's what he said back in November. Quote, "At this point, we're not ready yet to roll out a bigger hard drive. I can tell you what people tell me they do to get around this. What they do is they put their live account on a memory unit, and then they have one hard drive that they put all their games or related content on, and then they have another drive that they put their movies and TVs on," unquote. So, if you took Microsoft's advice on this, you're screwed. So here's a translation of part of the Japanese press release. Okay, so according to this, this is how the transfer cable works. You can only move data from the 20GB hard drive to the 120GB hard drive. Transferring data in the other direction or in any other combination is not possible. Any data stored on the 120GB hard drive will be automatically deleted, so it formats the drive before you even start. Any data stored on the 20GB hard drive will be automatically deleted after it's moved over. You cannot put the data from two or more 20GB hard drives onto one 120GB hard drive. If you attempt to move multiple drives, only the last one you move will be stored. Once you move the data over, it cannot be placed back on the original hard drive. So, hope you don't have multiple hard drives and need to transfer stuff using the transfer cable, because you can't do it. And that was something, like, I was just going through stories today, and I saw that, and it was before April 1st, and that kind of surprised me, because I've always heard, you know, hey, you know, if you need another hard drive, just go out and buy another 20 gig hard drive, you'll be fine. But now, if you do that, you can't combine them. And I understand that, you know, you can probably, you know, re-download the movies. If you did exactly what he said, was one for the games, one for the movies, you transfer the games over and just re-download the movies from the internet. But if you have, like, game saves on two hard drives and they're too big to fit on a memory card, sorry. Rob Boy says that I think most game saves can be transferred by USB. I haven't tried hooking up a USB device. I think that what I remember of the USB devices is it was one way. It was like it could read from the USB device, but they couldn't save to a USB device. I kind of remember that, I think. And about like the old HDMI stuff, Dr. Bloodshot says, I use component video and optical audio, and it works great. And that's what I use. I have optical audio for everything. I've got a little optical audio switcher. Got my PS3 and my 360 and my HDTV box all going through optical audio, and it sounds just fine. And Seymour Booty kind of talks about the HDMI spec. I don't know what's in the 360 HDMI, but there's different versions of HDMI, and there's like the 1.2 and the 1.3 spec of HDMI. 1.3 will send up to 7.1 audio, which is 7 speakers and 1 subwoofer. 5.1 audio is kind of the most popular right now, or it's the most common, where you have the five speakers, front left, front right, back left, back right, center, and then you got a subwoofer. That's your 0.1. Well, 1.3 will send up to the 7.1 audio, but if it's HDMI 1.2, it only sends stereo over the HDMI cable, and I believe what I was reading is that it's HDMI 1.2 that's in the 360 Elite, so you won't get surround. And here's the other thing that I want to know is I've talked a lot about my experiences back in October with getting replacement consoles. And here's the thing, and a couple of people have run into this since then, and I guess they probably weren't listening to my show back in October when I first talked about this, but your Xbox Live Marketplace content is tied to two things. Anything you download, especially for pay, like any arcade games or anything, anything you download is tied to two things. It's tied to your gamer tag and your initial console. So what this means is, you know, when I first bought my Xbox 360 at launch and I bought, you know, whatever arcade game I bought, probably Zuma and Geometry Wars or whatever, we have two gamer tags in the house because my girlfriend has her own gamer tag. I bought Geometry Wars. Well, she was able to log into her account and play Geometry Wars, play the full version of Geometry Wars. Well, when my first Xbox 360 died and we got it back, we found out that when she went into her account, she could only play the trial version of Geometry Wars, whereas I could play the full version. And it also, she bought Cloning Clyde, and I was unable to play Cloning Clyde, but she was. So essentially what it means is it's tied to your gamer tag and the first console you register to. So when we got the new console, the only way we could play the full version of those games is if we were logged into Xbox Live at that moment. This also meant on those Tuesdays that Xbox Live goes down for 14 or 16 hours for maintenance, like it did this past week, it means that you don't get to play any of your arcade games that you bought before you got your latest console. Anything you buy on your new console will be shared with everybody else on the console. So the way we had to get around it was we had to call Microsoft and we had to say, hey, we got our stuff repaired from you and now my girlfriend can't play Geometry Wars and she's getting the shakes. And essentially what they had to do is, you know, they had to like jump through hoops and try to figure out what they were doing. It's called Points After Repair. That is the actual official name. If you ever have to do this, it's called Points After Repair. Only works if you've actually gone through Microsoft's repair system and you just got the console back in the past week. So they will look at your purchases, and apparently they can only look at your purchase for the past year, but somebody, if you whine enough, I think they'll give you more points. But what they'll do is they'll say, okay, create another gamer tag. Create a silver gamer tag, and they give you codes to get points. And you put those points on your new gamer tag, your silver gamer tag, whatever you want to call it, and you rebuy all of the content you bought on your original gamer tag, or in my case, in both gamer tags. And then it ties it to that console. Now they want people to buy an Xbox 360 Elite. Now this transfer only works, it's very crappy, and it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. But this transfer only works if you've recently repaired your console. What if I buy a new 360? What if I buy this Elite 360 and want to use it to replace my existing 360? Am I also going to have to buy a $60 Xbox Live Marketplace point card to re-download and rebuy all of the content? Right now, I'd have to. So one thing is, I hope that they come up with some systems. You know, like iTunes, you can actually, like, deauthorize all of your computers once a year, and then you can reauthorize a computer. So I'd like to see maybe, you know, once a year, I want to be able to transfer ownership of all of my content to a new console. That's what I would like to see, because that's the way iTunes does it. If you have more than five computers authorized for a single account, and, you know, four of those are old computers that you forgot to deauthorize before you left that job, or you got a computer upgrade, or if you replace too many components, like if you got a new hard drive, which is what happened to me. I bought a new hard drive for my PC, transferred, Norton ghosted everything over, and then once it came back up, it was like, oh, you're not authorized for anything anymore. So, you know, iTunes lets you once a year wipe the slate clean, and I would like to see that happen with the Xbox 360. Now, Rob Way actually says the transfer cable is supposed to make it so you don't have to rebuy. I would like to see something that kind of shows that. He says that that is the 20 to 120 one-time transfer. But, see, that doesn't make sense to me because it's not tied to your hard drive, it's tied to your console. I can move my hard drive to another console and it won't play the games. You see what I'm saying? So I can move my hard drive, but if, you know, let's say I take it to a friend's house and, you know, he puts his gamertag on a memory card, okay? And I put my hard drive into his console and he puts his gamertag on a memory card in his console and logs in with his own gamertag on his console, it won't play any of my content because it's not the first console. Because my hard drive has not changed in the three times that I have changed my Xbox 360. I've kept my hard drive and I've put the same hard drive in there. So I don't think that I'd love to see if the transfer cable can actually do that. Okay, and Tommy Boy says that there's a Major Nelson interview that on Major Nelson's podcast, one that unfortunately don't really listen to all that much, but it's not because it's a bad show, it's just I have so many other shows I listen to. And he says that it licensed the arcade game to the new Black 360 when you transfer your 20-gigabyte hard drive to the 120-gigabyte hard drive. So that's great. That's awesome. So am I forced to buy the Elite to transfer my content to a new Xbox? Can I replace my core with another core? Because that's all I have, is I have a freaking core. So, I mean, you know, I would love to be able to buy a new core with and just transfer my content to that new core so it doesn't scratch my disk, since my Xbox is out of warranty. So I'd love to see them have a better solution to that. I mean, I understand that, you know. So I guess I'll have to listen to this interview. More of a Pimp says, my Xbox just got the 3 red rings. Does that mean when I get my replacement, I'll have to re-download? If you keep your hard drive, you won't have to re-download anything. Okay, so I've got an interview today with it's our last interview from GDC that I'm going to be playing, and it's with one of the big winners of the Independent Games Festival. The game is called Everyday Shooter, and unfortunately it is not available for download right now. But I did get to talk with the one person in charge of everything on Everyday Shooter, and he tells a little bit about the game and a little bit about when we may get to see it. It's the Game Developer Conference, the last bit of our GDC coverage here on the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
I am here with Jonathan Mack, who is Queasy Games, and he created Everyday Shooter, which is unfortunately one of the games I was not able to try before coming here, but it's got a lot of green things on here, which are the awards. Design innovation, excellence in audio, and it's also got the GameTap Indie Award, and I'm a big fan of GameTap, so hopefully I'll get to play it on GameTap sometime soon. Tell us a little bit about what Everyday Shooter is.
All right. Everyday Shooter is, if you imagine a music album, but instead of a collection of songs, it's a collection of shoot 'em ups. So what happens is, you know, each level has its own style, its own gameplay, and its own song, and its own, you know, style. So when the song ends, it just automatically switches to the next shoot 'em up, just like a music album. It sort of has this musical atmosphere where there's this guitar backing track, but then every time you shoot something, it'll play like a guitar note or like a riff from the song. So, and it's all guitars, and all the graphics are done in vector. But it's not like oh, squares, triangles. It's sort of like shapes morphing in and out. Morphing from shapes to non-shapes back to shapes, so it's a very organic experience.
And as you can hear in the background, that is the music from the game. We've got somebody playing it right behind here. How long have you actually been playing guitar?
It's too embarrassing, man. I'm actually not a great guitarist, but let's see. I don't know. When I graduated from high school, sort of my dad was like, okay, I'll buy you something. And I bought the cheapest guitar. So that was like maybe 10 years ago, but it's sort of, I'm not a very good guitarist.
I think it works well, though. What were your inspirations for the game? Like, when you created the game, what were your big inspirations?
So, the last game I made was really complicated, and kind of sucked because of that. I decided to make a really simple game. The simplest game I could think of was the shoot 'em up. And I just wanted to make a game that was, you know, simple because I wanted to understand, you know, the foundations of gaming again. That's why I chose the shoot 'em up. Around that time, my friend made me play Lumines. And, you know, I really liked how it really felt like playing a music album in that game. But in that game, it was like the game was always the same. So I thought, hey, well, I'm making shooters. Why don't I just make 8 of them and call it an album of shooters? So that's where the global concept came into. I mean, I'm also inspired by Parsec 47, especially its style, the vector style. And the music comes from, I don't know, indie rock crossed with Steve Reich's Electric Counterpoint, I guess.
So what are you looking to into getting distribution so people who aren't here at GDC can try it?
I'm looking at a lot of digital distribution for the PC first, so I think that's probably going to be the first thing that comes out. Hopefully in a few months. I don't know. XBLA. Pretty much any platform. Probably Mac, too, once I figure out DRM on Mac, because it's really easy to port to Mac. So, yeah. Pretty much, so I guess conclusion, anywhere I can, probably PC, hopefully XBLA, probably Mac.
And you did work on all this yourself, which is pretty impressive for this. It's you know, do you wish that, you know, there were more people that were able to do this? Because, like, in the old days, like Richard Garriott, he was able to create Ultima in his basement, you know, all by himself and stuff. You know, do you think maybe with, like, some of the new tools coming out, that, you know, we may get back to that where it can be just one person creating a game from his own singular vision?
I mean, it's not a question of... I've been asked this question. It's not a question of a wish, you know, but it's more what's right for the project. You know, it's like, some stuff just works better as, like, a singer-songwriter, just one person singing and playing guitar. And some stuff works better in a band. So it just so happened that this works better, you know, by myself. I do tend to like working by myself just because I'm a pretty stubborn guy, but, I mean, I do like the idea of collaborations, and I am collaborating with someone right now on another project, so, you know, it's all a matter of finding the right people. It's not about, like, forming a team or anything like that.
Now, when you're demoing it here with an Xbox 360 controller, which draws obvious comparisons, it's controlled with the left analog stick as movement, and the buttons are firing, whereas most conventions based on recent things coming out have the right analog stick. Why was the right analog stick not included?
Well, because I kind of live in the old days when there wasn't any analog sticks. Well, I guess there was on the left side, but I only recently got an Xbox 360. So when I plugged it in, that was the first thing I noticed, too, that it kind of sucks that it doesn't use the other analog stick. But one thing is that you can't shoot in any direction for a reason, because if you can, then you can just sit there and shoot, and you wouldn't have to ever move. But I think a lot of the fun in a shoot-em-up is moving and dodging bullets. So being only able to shoot on certain angles requires you to move.
And it does flow very well. I'm explaining for our radio audience here is that it's more of dodging bullets and, you know, firing, and it is a very smooth transition. So if you're holding the X button and you go to the Y button, it doesn't automatically jump to the Y button. It actually takes a few seconds to get up to the top position. So, I mean, that was a conscious design decision based on, you know, previous shoot 'em ups and paying homage to the genre.
Yeah. There's, you know, I tried to make a lot of subtle changes. Like, I didn't want to. Obviously, a huge influence is Smash TV and then indirectly Robotron. But, you know, there were some things that I wish had more meaning. For example, shooting is like, mostly when you play a shooter, you're always constantly shooting. But in my game, when you stop shooting, you move faster. So that helps you dodge bullets, you know? And there's a weird disconnect when you press one direction fire and then go to the next direction fire and you start firing immediately in the other direction. So, like, that's sort of why I added that transition to make it not such a disconnect. But you can still have that disconnect if you just let go of all the buttons and shoot.
So, for people that are probably looking for it, where can they find, like, news, like, where they can keep up to see, you know, if you did get a distribution deal somewhere, where can they go to find more information?
Probably everydayshooter.com would be a good idea.
So everydayshooter.com, Queasy Games. It's won a lot of awards, and hopefully you'll get to play it very soon.
Yeah, also you should check out my other games, queasygames.com.
Queasygames.com, thank you for spending some time with us.
This is Sarge from Red vs. Blue.
And I'm Private Dexter Griff.
You're listening to Bobby Blue Bland on the Black Wolf Show. Or something like that. .com.
I think it's Bobby Badfinger.
Bobby Badfingers to the bone. These nuts.
Thank you very much, Red vs. Blue, for that bumper. If you want to leave a bumper, this is not a joke. You can leave your own bumper. Just leave a voicemail. Bobby Black Wolf Show with your name and whatever funny thing you want to say or whatever about coming back to the Bobby Black Wolf Show, and I'll put some music behind it, and we can play it here on the show. Tedekin says that he beat Gears of War without ever touching the analog stick. He was so badass, he beat the whole game without ever leaving the prison cell. And Fifth Dream says he plays Asteroids without ever touching the thrust button. And Mike 2 says he crashes into thing if he uses the thrust button, so he doesn't use it. So what's this about not using the thrust button? So anyway, Everyday Shooter, it's a really good game. I think it was done in OpenGL. He was using all the open source variants. He wasn't using DirectX. He wasn't using any Microsoft stuff. He was getting really tired of any comparison to Geometry Wars, which is why I was very careful to hint at it, but not actually say it, because that's all anybody thought about, because he's like, you know, I made this before Geometry Wars came out, and, you know, I don't want it to be a Geometry Wars clone, so that's kind of where some of that came from, but it really was a fun game, and it was a very interesting twist, you know, the whole album concept, so I really hope that it, you know, he gets all the success that he deserves and stuff, because he kind of seemed like he didn't really expect the kind of adulation and respect he got from the people there at the IGF, which obviously for a geek convention like GDC, you know, that's kind of a harsh word to say, you know, adulation and all that stuff. But, you know, the respect and stuff, he kind of didn't believe all this was happening to him, is the way it seemed. So good luck to Queasy Games, and, you know, I want to play Everyday Shooter on my PC soon, please. So to turn things really quickly to one last news story that I wanted to get to before the break, but I wasn't able to. We've picked on Sony, we've picked on Microsoft, let's pick on Nintendo. Next Generation reports that GameStop COO Dan Matteo said that he believes that Nintendo is, quote, intentionally dried up their supply because they made up their numbers for the year, unquote, with the Nintendo Wii. And the new fiscal year begins on April 1st. Well, George Harrison, Nintendo Senior VP of Marketing and Corporate Communications, said in a phone interview with Next Generation that, quote, no, that's not at all the case. We have worldwide territories that are all competing over the available production. The Japan and European markets are doing extremely well with the Wii. People in Japan at Nintendo Company LTD, NCL, that's the Japanese version, are making the best decisions they can about which products get shipped to which market and when, unquote. Harrison reiterated that Nintendo is working to ship whatever it can, trying to meet demands that results in quick sellouts of Wii hardware at retail. He said that the uncommonly strong post-holiday demand caught Nintendo by surprise. Quote, GameStop's an important customer. Every retailer would love to get more Wiis. I think his comments may have been GameStop's way of trying to request more, unquote. I think they were holding back. That's just my personal opinion. Nintendo has been known to kind of withhold hardware in the past to make it seem like there's a shortage. Just makes people want it more. So I do think that they have been kind of holding back. It'll be interesting. We'll have to see in the next few weeks if really you can get a Wii on April 1st. Rob Way has said, then how about being sold out all over the world? Only eBayers make money with less Wii. Remember that Wii actually makes money for Nintendo. That's right. Nintendo sells Wii for a slight profit, which is a stark contrast to everybody else in the console world. What Up G says, yeah, it seems at least in Flyers, other stores advertise having Wii on Sundays every so often. Like today at Toys R Us and Walmart. Right now, finally, DS Lights are starting to show up. Today is April 1st. Rob also asked, Rob with two Bs, Rob Way, says, shouldn't the Wii market be saturated in the USA by now? I think it was right about now, maybe, that the Xbox 360 finally got saturated. I think it was like, or maybe it was in March. But I also know that, like, most sale flyers are for Sunday. So, like, most of the times when you would see games, you know, consoles being sold, they would be sold on Sunday. You know, you'd see, oh, big sale on Sunday, because that's when people can actually get out and, you know, go shop at the stores. So as I was saying last week, I started a forum thread on our forums over at allgames.com. We have a little sub-forum for the show. And I have started posting kind of the rundown of the show after I get it up and allow for some comments. So I wanted to read two responses that I got for the past two shows. Our show 2 weeks ago was talking about the differences between GDC and E3 and stuff. And the Rob D says, I understand why E3 couldn't keep ongoing the way it did, too little payoff. But why can't we still have a show much like the way Japan conducts their Tokyo Game Show? They find a way to continue on every year, and it's every gamer's dream. Forget this E for All EB Games with the cover garbage. Provide me a place to try out games we won't see for a while, or may not see at all. If you make it, we will come, unquote. And the reason I, you know, say that is because the companies here in America aren't really interested in participating in that, and we're even seeing that with E for All. You know, EA and I believe Sony have already said, no, we're not coming. So I don't think it's kind of, you know, that's what I was saying before is, you know, yeah, I know if they make it, they will come. But some of the companies really don't want you to come. And I think that's their whole thing. And I've got I've got these all printed out on my Gmail print that I got here on April 1st. And from last week's show about exclusive titles, let's see here. G4 2002 said that even if once Xbox 360 exclusive titles come to the PS3, I doubt that's going to help Sony in the long run. If Xbox 360 and PS3 start becoming too similar, then the only means of competition is the price adjustment. And with Sony not making any price drops, how is it possible for them to sell new hardware units? In the end, they will probably be surviving on brand loyalty. So those are the comments I got. And if you want to send forum comments as well, you can go over to our forums, allgames.com. When the episode goes up, we'll have a thread up and you can talk about it. And I will read your responses and read your comments on the air. It's just another way you can interact with us if you're not live. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for people that want to call in. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about any of this stuff. Also this week, some people are asking if I'm going to talk about the Grand Theft Auto 4 trailer. It came out several hours after the Take-Two Interactive Board of Directors got ousted by the shareholders. And other than ruffling the feathers of a few New York politicians, because it's set in a New York City, it didn't show much. It looks like a very nice engine. Some people were asking me what I believe the engine was using, if it was using the 360 or the PlayStation 3. I believe the trailer was actually made on the PC version of the engine. Whatever they're making it on, probably running on the PC. And it's probably a very high-end PC. So we do have a call coming in, so I'm going to go ahead and pick up this call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
It's Rob.
Hey, Rob, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to comment, not on what you've been talking about, but the game that came out, Puzzle Quest.
Right, Puzzle Quest. We talked about it last week a little bit.
Yeah, last week. Well, I bought the PSP version, and I think it's great. But I wanted to bring up that Nintendo Power gave it a 5. Which is kind of odd. I mean, it's not theirs, but
right.
The guy who tested it, really, you can tell he hates puzzle games. So
that's always a great mix.
My point, though, is that if you don't like puzzle games, you'll probably have his reaction. But if you don't, you got to spend so much time on the board just making sure you don't mismatch something, or else you can't play Bejeweled or you'll lose. So, but I've been loving it. But I'm a puzzle game nut anyway. So,
by the way, you got cut off a little bit. This is Rob Way in chat?
Yes.
Okay. Your name got cut off just a tad. So, yeah, I mean, I was really enjoying what I was playing at the PC demo, and I encourage people who do like puzzle games to try that PC demo, because it gets you up until level 7 is how far that demo goes.
You told us about the demo, and I never heard of it before, so I appreciate that.
Well, another satisfied customer. What else have you been playing recently, man?
Oh, my God, everything. Tetris, Evolution. Like I said, puzzle games here.
Right.
And on Wii, Corolimpa.
So how did you find the show?
Oh, wait a minute. I think because you logged into OLR.
Okay, so through OLR. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call, man.
All right. I'll keep listening. Bye.
See how easy it is. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to talk about anything in the gaming industry, stuff we talked about last week, Puzzle Quest, you can actually get a link to download the demo in our show notes from last week. It's an RPG Bejeweled. So, and it's out for the PSP and the DS right now, although apparently it's very, very hard to find. And actually, Penny Arcade has actually been promoting the hell out of Puzzle Quest. They made a few comics about it and stuff, and they're pretty funny, but also it's apparently very, very difficult to find. So yeah, the Grand Theft Auto 4 trailer, which is what we were talking about a little bit earlier, at least what I was talking about, I haven't seen any gameplay, so I really can't comment on the game and what they've innovated. I mean, they always have innovated in the past with the Grand Theft Auto series, but it's you know, I'd like to see what they're going to do this time around. We do have another call. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
It is Tommy Boy 99.
Tommy Boy, what's up, man?
Hello. Well, you know, I just wanted to comment about the Halo 3 beta.
Okay.
I think that it's coming out tomorrow. And I have two pieces of evidence that I read on the Halo forums that I think it really supports that it could be really coming out tomorrow. Number one is...
Were these posts written today?
No, I read it over the weekend.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, in the Halo graphic novel, on page 103, there is a picture of the Master Chief standing on top of the rocket launcher ammo box. And on the ammo box, it says 4/2/07. So that could be a little Easter egg that Bungie could be putting in, saying that it could be coming out tomorrow. And then another... thing I read was that on the Halo3.com, once you click on enter here, that little white circle, a guy looked at the information page of it, and it said that it expires April 2nd at 5:23 p.m., I believe. So it could be actually coming out tomorrow, so hopefully...
Okay, when did they ink the graphic novel? Like, how long was it since when they inked it and when it came out?
I have no... I think it was before that they said the beta. And that's what I was thinking, too, because they did say that they pushed the beta back from March to April. So that could be just a coincidence, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because Bungie's the type that they don't release it until it's ready, and I don't think that they would be doing, you know, stuff that far in advance. I mean, because... It does take a while to, you know, create those graphic novels and publish, print them and publish them and send them out and all that stuff. So I'd still be skeptical. That's kind of reaching, but then again, you may also be right and we'll know tomorrow. But a lot of times people will try to look in information pages and look at who is records on RN.com or whatever and look for things that aren't really there. It's kind of like you can actually put the number 23 into any weird coincidence. And then say, oh, it was the Illuminati. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, that is interesting. Those are interesting little coincidences. And I hope for y'all's sake that it does come out tomorrow, because I know a lot of people are chomping at the bit for it. Are you in the beta?
Yes, I am. And, you know, it is coming out this month, though. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of April 2nd.
Yeah, it would be amazing, though, if it did come out tomorrow.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. 1-866-880-0156. Halo 3. A lot of people are looking forward to that. A lot of people are playing the Shadowrun beta as well right now. I'm seeing a lot of people on my friends list that are in the Shadowrun beta and playing that all that much. I have such a rant about Shadowrun, and not about the game, but it's more because I'm actually an old fart and played the pen and paper version, that I've got a whole rant about Shadowrun. So, Grand Theft Auto 4 trailer. Fifth Dream says, I think it was just too short to even care. Oh my god, Russian accent. Oh my god, New York ripoff again. Ta-da. Not enough to go on. People have been talking about, you know, how they've kind of like freeze-framed the trailer, and they have assumed that because there is a billboard in the game that says travel to Liberty City or something, $300, that you can travel to other series in the franchise, which I think would be really cool in terms of, like, you know, adding an extra dimension to the game, because I know in San Andreas they had the three cities that were in San Andreas. But, you know, being able to travel to Vice City and to San Andreas and all that stuff. But I also remember that there were probably, like, ads like that in the other games as well, and that didn't necessarily mean that you could travel there. So, you know, I hate to be kind of the naysayer and say, okay, just because you saw a billboard that they put in that says, hey, you can travel to other cities, doesn't mean that you can actually travel to other cities in the game. On the other hand, a very good point that was made by Scott Rubin, actually, on All Games Interactive, is that Rockstar really hyped up this trailer. They bought 30-minute spots during the middle of the night on television channels to just show a friggin' countdown. So they knew that people were going to pick apart this trailer frame by frame. So they may have put those in on purpose to see if you could find them. You know, the jury's still out on it. I think it would be cool if it was true. One person was saying that those would probably, the other cities would be included on the Blu-ray version, but they would be downloadable content for the 360 version. You know, just people spouting off theories. You know how the internet is, spouting out theories of everything. Tiger Claw says it might make a game more interesting if some of the missions require you to travel to other series in order to complete them. Now, I haven't gotten that far in San Andreas, but don't you, or it's, I don't know if it was San Andreas or Vice City, but one of the games I thought you traveled to Liberty City for a mission, but you didn't actually get to go around Liberty City. You just kind of went to one other, like, little tiny location that they just said was Liberty City. So it wasn't really going to the other city, but the storyline said you were there, if that makes sense. So I think they've kind of already looked at that once, or, you know, visited that type of story once, but obviously they couldn't put the whole city in there, but maybe they'll be able to put the city in there this time. What Up G says, both the 360 and the PlayStation 3 are supposed to have their own exclusive content in terms of GTA 4. And Tedekin says, yeah, in San Andreas you had to fly to Liberty City for one mission. Robboy says that I can't believe that Grand Theft Auto, a money-making engine, would, quote, blow the wad in one game. And now, this is what's going to happen, guys. I know you guys that are listening to the podcast, you don't understand this. But people in the chat room, they're going to go crazy at the fact that I just said blow the wad. I don't understand why, but they will. And if you're not listening live, you get to miss this part of it. And What Up G says, you know, what new city would you like to see in a Grand Theft Auto game? You know, if you ask me that question, I always answer the joke answers. You know, like Boise, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, maybe. I actually think Atlanta would be cool for a GTA game. They did Atlanta in Midnight Club 3, but I think Atlanta could do a lot of, especially with the culture, the hip-hop culture that really is kind of centered around Atlanta. I think Atlanta would be a good choice for a GTA game. Certainly fits the profile, and, you know, nobody gets offended by that. I've lived here all my life, and I'm saying that, and I don't plan on leaving Atlanta anytime soon, so it's not a knock. Yeah, Portland, Maine, The Matrix says. Robboy says Chicago. More of a Pimp says Tokyo. And I do want to, you know, if anything that we have come up tonight and not identified as an April Fool's joke, like a Mace Satsuma's comment, anything that we have not identified as an April Fool's joke, if it does happen to be an April Fool's joke, I sincerely apologize. The whole point of the show was to cover the real stuff, because everybody else is probably doing April Fool's stories, and you can't go to, like, Slashdot without seeing fake news and stuff. So, hope you guys look at April 1st with a keen eye, and don't believe everything you see. So some of the other suggestions in chat, GTA the South Pole says it may Satsuma. The North Pole was somebody else that was somebody said. GTA Baghdad says Sub-Z. Mike 2 says GTA South Park. Glitch 720 says Red Bank, New Jersey. There you go. What Up G says there was a funny cartoon on late night TV showing Mario and Luigi going to Vice City, you know, in some kind of GTA slant. Yeah, that was on Robot Chicken. They've done several, like, video game parodies and stuff on Robot Chicken. But, yeah, they did that. And then I think Yoshi went into Resident Evil, I think. That was kind of like the punchline. So this week, Guitar Hero 2 comes out on the 360. That's what I'm looking forward to. Even though I've already played the PS2 version, I need easy achievements. And Guitar Hero 2, I'll have easy achievements. And apparently it's already out, so check your Walmart. see if they broke Street Date, but although some early reports say that all the Walmarts have been called and they said don't bother selling them yet. So that comes out Tuesday. And that's it. That's all I've got for this week. So I hope you guys have a good week. We will be back next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio. AllGames.com, catch us live, interact with the show, and call in or chat, comment, whatever. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. Also, email us, blackwolf@allgames.com, or leave a thread, leave a response on our forums over at allgames.com when we put the show thread up if you want to talk back on any of the topics from tonight. But the live show doesn't work without the help of the chatters. DC Nate, GK128, Gringo Hendrix, Black Boy, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, D5T, Doomplay, Drunk Pandas, Fifth Dream, Hermdog, Nekobun, Refi, Seymour Booty, The Matrix, The Rob D, THK, Toshin, Alt, Amaze Setsuma, Cedabria, Dr. Bloodshot, Duck for Sale, Dungeon Buster, Engda59, Funnydale, Gaudy Boy, Glitch720, Gripper01, Havoc978, He Called the Crap Poop, sorry, can't say the full name, Hitstun, Interlogic, Joet Havasu, Johnny 5, Just Insane, Maximilian, Mike 2, More of a Pimp, New Shiny CD, OSU Fan, good luck Monday, Pete Dore, Ravens Dolphin, Rob Way, Stone Raider, Sub Z, TDB30, Tedekin, Tiger Claw, TommyBoy99, Uber Fragger, VXJasonXV, What Up G, and Will Khan. So, once again, I wanted to thank you for listening, and I will see you guys next week. Don't believe everything you read on April 1st. Trust me. Mushroom Kingdom Hearts does not exist, and neither does a futuristic Zelda.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.